Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loves spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. At CWH, our purpose is to glorify and honor God, help people come to know Jesus, and comfort God's people. If you would like to know more about us, visit our website at cwh.org, write to us, or call us. We recently heard from a friend in Missouri. Thank you very much for your wonderful broadcast. I listen every week. I was 67 years old when I found the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful day. I've been serving Him faithfully since. I'm now 93. Today, Dad advises us, do not underestimate the power of the devil, and speaks about remaining close to Jesus in his timeless message, Can Christians be demon-possessed? God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when we come to the end of the week and we can gather together all around the world, and we're all drawn to one place, and that's the feet of Jesus Christ. And all someday we won't be scattered like this. Well, all of the believers will be together in heaven, and won't that be something? Our sermon today is going to be on a question that I get quite often, and that is, can Christians be demon-possessed? And so I hope you'll stay tuned for that, and maybe call your friends and have them listen in. But first of all, we want to look at Psalm 71, the opening verses, where the psalmist writes, In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. O Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We lean upon you, and we know that from our youth, you are always with us. And you told your people when they put their faith in your dear Son, Jesus, that you would never leave them or forsake them. And we can count on that in life or in death or for eternity. Oh, what a wonderful God you are. And we're praying that everybody listening in today will be sure they put their faith in Jesus, the wonderful Savior. And we'll thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barbara's a song I know you'll enjoy, and it's a great song. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And God bless you, Barb.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Are you
washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing in the soul unclean. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. By, I'll fly away. a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy will never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by,
thank you, Barb. That's exactly it. We're going to fly away. We're going to be with the Lord. And it's all because of His shed blood. Because the Scriptures tell us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so when we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, we rejoice because it's our only hope. And that wonderful Savior, you know, we sing about the blood of Jesus. And when you read in the book of Revelation, you're going to see when we all get to heaven, that's going to be the song, "Thou art worthy to be slain and to shed your blood to pay us for our sins." Oh, He loved us so much that He gave His life for us. We're just wonderful, that wonderful Jesus. And it's all we pray on the Christian Worship Hour all the time, that you'll put your faith in Jesus and be born again. And then when you're born again, that you walk with Him, that He'll just step by step, day by day, until we enter the pearly gates, He'll be there leading us. What a wonderful message, the wonderful message of the gospel. Well, today I'm going to read some letters. First of all, our message is going to be taken from 1 John chapter 4. And I know some of you get all dressed up for church, and you're all ready, and then some of you sitting in easy chairs, and that always makes me nervous. But just so you're there, and that we'll start out together. I don't know if you'll all stay with us. Maybe you go to sleep, something, but praise the Lord just the same. But we want to share some of the letters, and I would just thank you for writing to us, and you get your pencil and paper. In just a few minutes, I'm going to give the address. We would love to hear from you. And when you write, you can send a gift to help us carry on. And God has provided for almost 30 years now, and we've never failed a single time. And I know that as long as the Lord wants us to do it, He'll provide for it. And it's all through His people. Our first letter is taken from Pleasantville, Iowa. And this is a couple. And they write and they say, "We do appreciate the Christian Worship Hour on TV, as we do not go to church anymore. We are 94 and 98 years old, but still enjoying life in a limited way. We are thankful for the things we can still do and the long life God has permitted us to live together. Thank you for your ministry." And I just thrill when we get letters from people like this, because they just can't get out. Now, I'm 96, and they're talking here about the enjoying life in a limited way. Believe me, you limit your stuff. You don't jump rope anymore, I'm going to tell you. You don't ride wild bulls or things like that. You limit yourself. But you know, the older man, the outer man is getting old and decaying. The inner man, the spiritual man, is getting stronger. And so there's joy in our life no matter what the age is. And so we're so glad we can minister to so many people that just can't get out anymore. And some are on beds of sickness. And so that's part of the ministry of the Christian Worship Hour. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. This is really wonderful, right next to us. And they write and say, "We can't watch Christian Worship Hour every Sunday. A new song has become something I really read daily each month. My anxiety and depressions have become less for this. I'm so grateful. I believe in Jesus Christ because of your teachings. Blessings to all of you." And that's a beautiful little letter. and they're talking about the new song. And I'll tell you what the new song is. It's a monthly Bible study. Every month we have a different Bible study. This month, the month of February, we're talking about what is love. And some young person will say, I know what love is when you get all twittery and then, you know, you're just all excited. That's love. And, you know, God bless them. But so what is real love? What is God's love? What is the love of God that's in our life? And that's called the new song. And when I'll give you the scripture, I'll give you the address in just a minute. And you can write for it. And I know what you're asking. Oh, what's a subscription? I don't know if I can pay for that because I'm just right to the limit now. You know what? We are so good that we don't even charge for it. We send it free and postpaid. So we don't have that money. We're just spending it, and we're going to spend it till we go broke. And when we go broke, we say, Lord, now what you want us to do? He'll have a plan. You'll all be ready to go. So you just write to us, and we'll send that with pleasure. Here's Christ Church, New Zealand. Thank you, Pastor Salem, from Joyce and Gilbert in New Zealand. We love your teaching program on Daystar every Sunday afternoon. New Zealand Church, Christ Church, New Zealand. And I had Kent look this up, and you know how far that is from us? 8,200 miles. 8,200 miles. Isn't that beautiful that we can spread the gospel and we can worship together and have fellowship together, and we're just a breath away because we're all around the throne of God. And I've got a special place in my heart for New Zealand because I had a granddaughter and she had taught as she went to New Zealand for studies. And now she has a doctor's degree, and she's in cancer research in Wisconsin. And she always loved New Zealand. She said it's a beautiful country and wonderful people. So thank you for taking care of my granddaughter. Here is Colorado Springs, Colorado. Thank you for your faithfulness. I'm 85 years and still working when I can find jobs to do. I tell my children. Now, here's her advice. She's 85 years old. And all of you young people, you listen in, because this is wisdom. I should write a sermon on this. Here's what she says. I tell my children, take jobs no one else wants to do. That's the first thing. Don't be so picky. And she says, take jobs no one else wants to do, and do your best. Always do your best. Don't see how you can get by and how you can slip by. She's not done yet. She says, have a thankful heart. Be thankful for your work. Work is a blessing. It's the most wonderful thing in the world that we can have something to do. Don't fuss about it. And the last thing she says, keep moving. Keep going along. 85 years old. I'm 96 and I say, amen, sister. You got that just right. So you young people, you see, we should charge you. That's a little seminar right there. We really ought to charge you for it, but we're awful good-hearted here. Here's Hubbard, Oregon. Thank you so much for your Christian worship hour. My husband has Alzheimer's. He forgets a lot, but never forgets when your program is on TV, channel, and time. He loves your messages because you preach from the Bible and you tell it like it is. He tells everyone about it. Keep up the good works. We love it, faithful watchers in Oregon. Isn't that nice? And you know, my mother got so that she didn't know her own children. She was 99 years and 5 months. She didn't know her children. One day I asked her if she remembered one or the other, and I gave their names. And then I said, do you remember Jesus? And she said, oh, yes. I remember Jesus. It was all gone but Jesus. And so that's the beauty of walking with the Lord. He'll never leave us or forsake us, and he'll take us safely home. Just love these letters. Here's Bismarck, North Dakota. Here's a man in prison. Sir, I'm an inmate in the North Dakota State Penitentiary. I've been a very bad man. In September this year, I came back to God. Since that time, I've also watched you on TV. I'm a resident here until December 25th, 2019. Please send a new song, a Bible study, until then, until he gets out. He says, I repented and I was baptized as a kid. I have repented again. Do I get baptized again? Thank you for your service. Now, baptism, you know, what baptism is and is always in the New Testament. You never got baptized till you had Jesus. And when you accepted Jesus, baptism was a demonstration. It was your proclamation to the world, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. So this young man, he accepted the Lord and he was baptized, and you only need to be baptized once. But if you wanted to be baptized again, you can. There was a group of people in the New Testament times who kept the scriptures. They were called the Essenes, and some of them were baptized every day. Because they were working where they were writing the Word of God, scrolls of the Word of God, and in the morning they were baptized and started a fresh day for Jesus. So just don't think that baptism saves us. It's our way of saying, I've accepted Jesus. I've died to my old life, raised to a new life. Wichita, Kansas. Oh, here, look at this. I'm a Christian and I love the Lord with all my heart, and I try to live the way He wants me to. But I have a bad habit of talking about people, gossiping. Please pray that I would stop this bad habit. God bless you. Now, this is a dear lady that's writing, and in the same breath, I want to say men are just as bad gossiping as any woman ever was. They always say, oh, it's the women. I've seen old gossipy men that were worse, just as bad as any woman, maybe worse. Maybe he took first place. But it is a sin. It's a terrible sin. And I'll tell you what it is. When you gossip, you hurt other people. And you know, I was raised out in western South Dakota, and they had what they called bushwhackers. And a bushwhacker was a man that would hide behind some bushes or a tree. And then as a man would ride by, he'd shoot him in the back and kill him. He was a bushwhacker. That's what a gossip is. Because you see, this person, he couldn't see anything. He didn't know the man was even there. Shot him in the back. So you're talking about people. And so it's a terrible sin. And so the one wonderful thing about this lady is she realizes it and she admits it. And so we need to just say, dear Jesus, may the words of my mouth and my heart, just watch my heart and my mouth and every word I say, that it'll be honoring in thy sight. And I just admire this lady to no end for writing this letter. One more letter. And here it is. It says, I feel so blessed to find your program. I'm 72 years old. I'm a Pentecostal sister in the love of sweet Jesus. Thank you for blessing me. And I'm going to tell you something. I can join with this dear sister, this Pentecostal sister. I've walked with Jesus 86 years, and He's sweet Jesus. He is sweet. There's a Leela Long wrote a song about that. I just got one verse. She says, there is no name in earth or heaven above that we should give such honor and such love as the blessed name. Let us all proclaim the wondrous, glorious name of Jesus. And then the chorus goes by this. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I'm telling you, dear friends, if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know Him. You don't know Him. And if you would ask Him into your heart, just make that prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm a terrible sinner. And a sinner, and I ask you, come into my heart, wash away my sins. And I'll forsake those sins the best I can. and thank you, Jesus. And if you will pray that prayer, you're a child of God. Whosoever will call in the name of the Lord will be saved. And you'll have Jesus. And after 86 years, I can tell you, he grows sweeter every day, every day. So we're thankful for all these letters, and we're thankful for the gifts. And so now I want to encourage you all to stand by and write to us and help us, because we have to have your help and your input and your prayers. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. It's box 2002. And it's Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. I know that you can see it on the screen, but I'm talking especially to our shortwave people. Do you know that by shortwave, the Christian Worship Hour reaches 90% of the world's population through shortwave radio? And so we need to hear from you folks, and you need to help us and encourage us, and you can send us a gift. And I tell you how you can send us a gift, and it's just like magic. You can get us on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place that says donate, and anywhere in the world you can donate, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. But so I hope that you'll write to us. Now let me give it to you again, to all our shortwave people. It's Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you're the only source of income we have is God's people. And then you're saying, well, I don't know. I send it here. I send it all the way from way off here, maybe in New Zealand. And how do I know you're going to spend it right? Well, maybe you'll buy a fancy sports car. You saw, I'm 96 years old. I'd like to have a sports car. Can you believe it? Well, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization. They audit our books and they check us for everything we have. And we receipt every penny and we spend every penny according to our budget, showing exactly where it goes. So you write to us. And if you want the new song, just say new song, glad to send it. So now I'm going to pray, and then you give, you pay as God lays on your heart. And Jan will play and I'll pray. And you give. And God bless you. God bless you, everyone who's helping us in this ministry. It's your ministry, Jesus, and it's your people, and it's all in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. We're reading from 1 John chapter 4. And then in our prayer, we're going to pray for our people, our brothers and sisters in North Korea. Every week, we pray for the persecuted church. And we go to North Korea every so often because of all the places where the church is being persecuted in the world, the worst place is North Korea. There's two different groups that study the persecuted Christians, and they're telling us North Korea is the worst. So we pray for them. Oh, God, we pray for them. And so then we're going to look at 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to love you and help us to love one another and help us to pray for one another and support one another, especially those of the household of God. And we're praying today, Lord, that you'll just help us as a message is given out. There'll be multitudes all over the world that will say, yes, I want God in my life. I want Jesus in my life. And then they'll just pray, have them to pray and ask you to come in their own words, in their own way. And you don't have to, dear God, you accept us. You know our heart, and you know that we're sincere, and we're asking you to come into our heart. And you've told us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of our heart. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And so you want to come in, but you can never come in until we open the door, until we ask you to come in. May there be multitudes that do that. And then, Lord, we want to pray for the young people today. Some of them have such awful temptations we never had 90 years ago. It's a different world, and it's not as good a world as we had. The world never was your friend, but it's a terrible enemy of yours now. So for the young people, help them to open their heart to Jesus. Help the children to do that. I know, dear one, that one dear lady, 5 years old, asked Jesus to come into her heart. Now she's a grandma, and she's living for Jesus. Now, I was 10 years old, and I just lived, and I've not always been the best Christian, and I've failed you many, many ways, but have always come back, and you never turned me away. And you're so beautiful and so wonderful. And then, Lord, those on beds of sickness, and that's a time when the devil just perplexes people, and he picks on people when they're down. He's a dirty, rotten coward. And so just help them to know that you understand. You suffered too, and there's a reason for their suffering. Yeah, there's a purpose for that. And just help them to lean on you. So this is your service, dear Jesus. May everything we do and say honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. And Hank is going to sing a beautiful song, I Believe. And God bless you, Hank. Thank you, Pastor.
When I see the sun rise in the morning, when I feel the wind blow across my face, when I hear the sound of children playing, I know it's all part of God's amazing grace. And I believe there's a place called heaven. And I believe in a place called Calvary. I believe in a man whose name is Jesus. And I believe that he gave his life for me. I was there the day my mama went to heaven. I held her hand as she closed her eyes to sleep. And I felt the power of 10,000 angels take her soul away to be crowned at Jesus' feet. And I believe there's a place called heaven. And I believe in a place called Calvary. I believe in a man whose name is Jesus. And I believe that he gave his life for me. And I believe that he gave his life for me.
Thank you, Hank. And that's the key. That's the secret. I believe. He that will, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's what Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? He's convicted by the Holy Spirit, and he wants Jesus, and he wants salvation. And so he asked Paul and Silas, What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That is, if you believe at the head of the house, you can treat your children, you train your children, and help them to also believe. Oh, it's wonderful. Now, that's what we're praying all the time, that you'll believe and receive the Lord Jesus. But today we want to talk about after you believe. Excuse me. After you become a Christian, and then I'll get these questions, and they'll say, now I'm a Christian, I've accepted Jesus, but I read about the devil in getting into people's hearts and dwelling in within the bodies of people. And they says, can that devil do that? Can demons possess me? And so that's what I'm going to preach today. And I got 2 points. Sometimes people say, well, how many points does it take to make a good sermon? And the answer is, well, it ought to have at least one. Well, I got 2, so you're in luck. And the 2 of them are this. Demons, now I have to listen really carefully. Stop talking among you folks and listen to this. Demons can influence Christians. Now, I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to people that accepted the Lord. Demons can influence Christians, but demons cannot possess Christians. So let's look at that. Demons can influence a Christian. That is, they can influence Christians and non-Christians alike. And you have to distinguish between demon possession and demon possession. Excuse me. Demon possession and demon influence. As far as demon possession is concerned, unbelievers, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, they are exposed to the demons. You're going to be demon possessed anytime the devil, he works on you and gets into your heart. But once you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, they can never enter your heart. They can never enter your life. They can influence by doing different things and try to get us to do wrong. For instance, in demon possession, the very body of the person is inhabited by a demon or demons or Satan himself. You see that in Judas. and the devil entered his heart, and he went out to do his work in the crucifixion of the Lord. The personality is invaded when people are controlled by the demons, or there is controlled by the demons. It's dominated by the demons. That's demon possession. Now, demon influence, and this is an attack from the outside. They can't get into your heart because the Holy Spirit is in your heart. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the devil can't overrule the Holy Spirit. And so that comes from the inside. And it can come in the form of, well, for instance, peer pressure. They talk, and this is when I pray for the young people. Because it's so important for young people, it seems, to be accepted by the group. And so peer pressure really works on them. But that can happen to old people too. It can happen anywhere in life. But I think maybe as young people is harder. It can come by just suggesting different things. Demon influence can come by temptation, or influence to do wrong or do the wrong thing. There's just a temptation to do these things. And demon influence can take many different forms. The sign of being influenced by demons is always shown in a departure from the faith as given in God's Word, the Bible. When people deny the Bible and deny the Word, that's influenced by the Holy Spirit. That's his influence on them. It's shown in open apostasy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. And it's all shown in doctrinal corruption, and that is they don't rightly divide the word of truth and they teach it wrong. That's the influence of the devil on Christian people. It's shown in perverting the truth, and we've seen that today in all the sects and all the cults that are going around. And some of them are wild-eyed as far as the Bible is concerned. But people don't read the Bible. They just take the person's word for it. And so demons come along and they work on people and they get them to go drift away and go away. It's shown in causing disunity in the body of Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It's shown in hewing to the letter, but with the spirit, not with the spirit of worship. So they go through all the motion, but the heart isn't in it. It's just an outward form. It's shown in all hypocrisy. It's shown in worldliness. It's shown in uncleanness. In 2 Peter 2, we must constantly be on guard so that the enemy does not get an influence on our thinking and our attitude and how we live, so that we can be influenced by the demons and by the devil. But I want to spend most of the time today on the demons cannot possess a Christian. And always keep this in mind. They cannot do it because Jesus Christ is greater than Satan. Jesus Christ is omnipotent. That is, he has all power. Jesus Christ is omniscient. That is, he has all wisdom and knowledge. Jesus Christ is omnipresent. That is, he's present everywhere. So don't forget that. And listen to some of the scriptures that point this now. And there are all kinds of scriptures. I've just chosen a few where it shows that Jesus Christ, that God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God is greater than Satan. And Satan can only go so far because God has that great power. And that's why when God is in your life, Satan can never enter your life, ever. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. And you maybe want to write these down. Or if you want to, we can send CDs or DVDs. We send them on a free will offering basis. But 1 John 4:4. And it says, ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Always remember the power of our God. The power resides within us. We become his children through faith in his Son, Jesus. And there's a victory that every Christian has over the anti-Christian world, and that is because God is in our heart and God is greater than Satan. And just always remember that. So we belong to God, belongs to us, and we belong to God. God is in us and we are in God. It's like, is God, am I in God or is God in me? It's like the sponge in a bucket of water. Is the water in the sponge or the sponge in the water? We are one and we are one in Christ. And so he has all that power to keep us. So Satan can't push God around. God is more powerful than Satan ever will be. Because first of all, he cast Lucifer out of heaven. And that God cast Lucifer out of heaven, who became the devil. And some of the angels went with him. And about him, some people think that there's maybe a third of the angels went with him. And they believe that because in the book of Revelation, John has this vision. He says, when the dragon was cast out, with a swoop of his tail, he took a third of the stars. And they think that maybe there are a third of the people in heaven that was with God in heaven. And Lucifer, when he was in heaven, when he was cast out of heaven, that he took a third of the angels of God with him. And they became demons. And they become his followers. And so greater is he that is in you than is in the world. Then another scripture is 1 John 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And here is assurance that Jesus Christ is greater, because he came to destroy the devil's work. And this was accomplished. He destroyed the devil. Jesus accomplished that when he died on the cross and was raised from the dead with the resurrection. And that means that the devil is a defeated foe. His days are numbered. And the day is going to come, and you can read it in the book of Revelation, where God is going to put Satan in the lake of fire and all of his angels with him and all of his followers. And you say, well, how do you get to be a follower of the devil? You don't do anything, because we sinned. And that sin is going to put us in hell. And we have to come to Jesus and be born again and be washed of our sins. And if you don't have Jesus, you're going to be with the devil and his angels. That's exactly what's going to happen. And that's why we preach our heads off and work as hard as we can to tell you, come to Jesus. And Jesus says he's not willing that any should perish. That is, that none should go into eternity, and that Christ is eternity. He wants you to be with him. And so that's our message. And it's the good news is that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, God, Jesus said. And if you come to Jesus and you say, I get it all the time, and they'll say, well, I've got such terrible sins, God would never accept me. And the one thing that bothers them the most, people will say, I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway. I sinned against light and I knew better and I did it, and God will never forgive me. But Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And he says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for the whole wide world. And you can come if you want to come. But if you don't want to come, it's your decision, and you have to make that decision. Then another scripture we look at is in John 16, verse 33. These things Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. The New English Bible makes this to read, Be courage. The victory is mine. I have conquered the world. Satan is the prince of the power of the air now. He has a lot of power. He does a lot of evil, does a lot of things. But when Jesus Christ went to that cross and paid for the sins of the world, he broke the power of the devil. And he can have no charge over us at all if we just stay with Jesus, stay close to Jesus. Another scripture I put down is John 4, 17, verse 12. And this is where Jesus has a prayer. He's praying. He's praying for his people. He says, while I was with them in the world, he's talking to his Father in heaven. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, and the scripture might be fulfilled. And the son of perdition is Judas. And none of them is lost, he says. God keeps us from the evil one. And he then said, the devil can never harm us because everyone is kept in the power of God. Or you could put it down, John 10, verse 28 and 29. I love this scripture. He's talking to the people that accept Jesus. He's talking to those that put their faith in him, receive him as their Savior. And he says that when you accept Jesus, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now listen to that. That's what he says. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now we have these birds running around. They say you can be saved and you're lost. I wonder what Jesus is talking about here. He says, if you accept me as your Savior, I'll give you eternal life and you can't perish. He said, I can't understand it. And he said, but listen to what he says. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so Jesus holds us. We don't hold Jesus. Jesus holds us. And so when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are kept by him. And somebody will say, I had somebody tell me one time, well, what if I want to get out of his hand? And I said, well, you nut. You think you're stronger than God and you can get out of God's hand? Where did you come from? So you put your faith in Jesus. You have that eternal life. Then we're also told in this wonderful passage in 1 John 5:18, it says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now, the wicked one touches him not. Satan can't have any control over us at all unless God allows him to, in the story of Job. And I'll talk about that in just in closing in a few minutes here. But he keeps us all the time. Now, it says here, he that sinneth not. And that's not a good translation in the King James. And I'll get letters on us. Just write them in. Send your money with you while you write. But the King James says, calls it sinneth not. And that is impossible, because after we accept Jesus Christ, there's none of us that are not sinners. And when you read the first John, the whole book of 1 John, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to people that accepted Jesus. And in the 9th verse, he says, if we confess our sins, we all sin after we're saved, every one of us. And when we act Jesus, and so it should be translated about what's wonderful Jesus, that we're not kept into sin, but we break from sin and we try to walk with the Lord the best we can. And if you fall back into that sin 1,000 times and you ask Jesus 1,000 times to forgive you, he'll forgive you. Grace is greater than all of our sin. My grace is sufficient for thee. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the wonderful grace of God, and the grace isn't in any teachings, any religion in the world except Christianity, Christ's teachings, that wonderful grace of God, and that keeps us and helps us. So we need to put our faith in Jesus and trust in him, leaning upon him. Jesus Christ came then, and he came to so that we could follow him, and the evil one cannot touch him. The evil one cannot do a thing with us except unless God allows it. And so God does allow that sometime. And when he can, you take, for instance, in the story of Job. And Job he was a most righteous man of his day. That's what the neighbors said. He said, and Job was the most righteous man on earth at that time. The neighbors said that. But God also said it. So it's true. And so here he is. He's the most righteous man on earth. And he belonged to God. And Satan wanted to get to him. He wanted to say that Job was just pretending. He was just faking it. He really wasn't all that good. And he says, why wouldn't he be? Satan says to God, why wouldn't he be good? You've given him children. You've given him animals. You've given him property. You've given him a big house. You've given him health. You've given him everything. Why wouldn't he trust you and love you? Well, I'm telling you, I've seen people that had all that and they still didn't trust Jesus. They just trusted themselves. They acted like they were the ones that made that house and built that house, but they couldn't have put one nail in that place if God wouldn't have given them the strength to do it. And so Satan says, well, sure, if you just let me touch him, if you let me take those things away from him, he'll curse you. He won't be that wonderful man. And this is what God says. It's written in the book of Job, if you want to read it. It's a good book to read. And God says to him, all right, Satan, you can take away his property. You can take away his children. You can take away his house, but you can't touch him. You can't put one finger on Job. And Satan goes out, and you know the story. He loses his children. He loses his property. He's lost everything he has, and he is put away, and he's about to die from sorrow and grief, but Satan can't touch him, and he never turns against God. And then God says, and then Satan says, well, he passed the first test, but if you let me punish him a little bit and give him some troubles and trials, he'll turn against you in a minute's time. He won't have a thing to do with you. And so God says to Job, all right, Job, you can put your hand on Job, or you can put your to Satan. He says, all right, Satan, you can. I'm going to let you touch Job. You can do with Job anything you want, but you can't take his life. You see, Satan is on a leash, and he can go only so far. And sometimes God allows him to do things because he wants to make us better, and he wants to make us stronger, and he needs to prove a point or something. I don't know what happens behind the scenes with God and Satan. Paul writes, and says, there's a mystery of iniquity. There's a mystery in all of these evil things that happen and sinful things that we don't understand. We'll understand it sometime in heaven. And so Satan says, okay, I'll take care of Job. And he puts him to the place where Job thinks he's going to die. He has boils on him. That a man never had boils like it. And there he is, and he's on an ash pile. And he got an old part of the little paper to scrape with, and he scrapes his boils. And Job's wife comes to him and says, Job, for goodness sake, why don't you just curse God and why don't you die? And you know what Job said? The whole world knows what Job said. Though he slay me, I will trust him. But the point I'm trying to make here is Satan can only go so far. God can put a hedge around us so that Satan can't even touch us. On the other hand, maybe he's going to be like with St. Paul. And Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. He begged God to take it away. And God finally said to him, Paul, don't ask me for healing anymore. I want you to carry that thorn in the flesh. I'm not going to heal you. Don't even pray about it. All of you divine healers, you better read that story. And so Paul says, oh, I just tried to do my best for you, and I just preached the best I could, and that's what you do to me now. You won't heal me. No, what did Paul say? I glory in my infirmity. I hold it up like a flag. I'm doing it for Christ in his kingdom. So the point is, the devil can't touch us unless God lets us, puts us into hard places and troubles and trials, and he always has a reason for it. But you have to have Jesus first. You're never a child of God till you're born again. And you're born again by just asking Jesus into your life. And you're born again. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a part of the body of Christ. Now, if you make that prayer, dear Jesus, just in your own words, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. God knows it. He wants you to confess it. I've sinned against you, dear Jesus. And I ask you to just come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll forsake my sin the best I can. That's called repentance. Jesus taught repentance. Repentance means you turn from your old ways to the new ways. So Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sin. I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you for Jesus. And you have eternal life. I know there are multitudes doing that. And if you write to us, we'll send you some scriptures to help you get started in the Christian life. In the meantime, find a church where they're preaching the Bible. Read the Gospel of John and start out on that Christian life. But you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I hope that you'll help us with a gift. We have to have your help. And when we'll write to you, we'll send you literature. If you want the new song, we'll be glad to send that. but you need to write. And just remember, we're underwritten by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's all to the glory of God. And we've come this far because God has been blessing us through his people. So now I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had together. Thank you for those and multitudes that accepted you. Dear Jesus, help those who are on beds of sickness, those who are lonely today, Lord, those who are discouraged and downhearted. Be with the young people and bless them, encourage them, Lord. Guide them in the steps of righteousness. And the little children, help them to come to you too. And dear Lord, we'll just give you, always be careful to give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So now until next week, well, we got it. All of you shortwave, love to hear from some of you shortwavers. And you write to us, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Would we ever love to hear from you? If you have a question or a problem or something, we'll try to help you to solve it by or answer it by Scripture. Everything depends upon the Word of God. And always, glory be to God. So you pray for us. We'll pray for you. We love you. I trust you love us. Someday, if you put your faith in Jesus, we're going to see you face to face in heaven. And won't that be glorious? And I'm praying, and we're all praying, not a one of you will miss out. You'll all be in that number because you've taken Jesus as your Savior. So till next week, God bless you. God loves you. We sure love you. And we'll see you someday in glory.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.